2 Corinthians chapter 6, we started here as verses to start on in verse 14 down through verse 1 of chapter 7. So I'm going to read that again, and then we'll get into the second part from the completion from last week. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? And what part he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, walk in them, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you again for this opportunity to be able to preach your word. I thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. I thank you for that opportunity to sing and give you praise for those wonderful songs and hymns that we sung. I thank you for the specials that were done to bring glory and honor to you. And we do thank you for how great thou art. And thank you for your many blessings you showed to us. Thank you for the opportunity to give back to you what you entrusted to us through the offering. And Lord, thank you for this opportunity. You've allowed me to preach your word. And Lord, I pray I want to be a help to these people and help me to be able to preach the truth with compassion, with boldness, and that people could understand it. Help me to be able to relate it to them. Lord, to be able to apply it to their lives. And Lord, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would have His will and His way in our hearts. If there be one that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray today would be the day they get saved. Help the boys and girls downstairs to be able to learn from the teaching. And Lord, what a blessing that would be to be able to see them grow up for you, to use their life for the furtherance of the gospel. And what a blessing it is to see them use their lives now. And Lord, I pray that we never lose sight of that. Lord, and I give you the service and pray thy will be done. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me get my water. Once in a while, I need to get some water from my throat. There's no coffee beans in it yet. Amen. At least not in this one. Amen. But as we were talking last week about separation, now we're going to do the second part of separation. So the first part was a spiritual separation. And now this part is we're talking about separation from sin. Separation from sin. Now there are some people who don't like to preach against sin. And the reality is, if you're going to be a preacher, you've got to preach the whole counsel of God. We went through that last week a little bit. One of the you think it was a responsibility as a pastor is to preach the whole counsel. Amen. The reality is, some people just like to preach on heaven. No, don't get me wrong. I like preaching on heaven. I like to tell people about heaven, what heaven may be from the Scripture. But the reality is, you also have to preach about the whole Bible. Amen. And the reality is, God wants us as Christians to be separate from sin. That day that you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, He saved you. Amen. The Bible tells you in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, you're sealed until the day of redemption. Amen. God Almighty is the one who's keeping you. Amen. Because if I had to keep myself, the truth of the matter is, we would lose it like that. Amen. God is the one that's keeping you, amen? You're sealed. But just because you're saved, and ultimately you can't lose that salvation God promised you, that does not give you a liberty to live any which way that you want to. I'm going to show you through Scripture today, because God wants us to be holy people living for Him. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of 1 Peter. In the book of 1 Peter, if you don't have your own Bible, there's a Bible in the pew in front of you. You can borrow that Bible. There's the Old Testament. There's a New Testament. Most of the references we'll have today will be in the New Testament, so you can follow along. All we ask is if you borrow a Bible, just make sure you put it back. Amen. I don't know why. It would be a hard thing to imagine, but I have heard that there's been people that stole Bibles, and I'm thinking, wow, they steal a Bible. Hopefully they read it, get saved, and then bring it back. Amen. Not here. Amen. Thank God I'm not talking here, but I have read of that sometimes where people have stole a Bible. Amen. And I'm thinking, if you need a Bible, you let me know, amen. I'll help you. If you really need a Bible, I'll get you a Bible. But look here in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look down here at verse 14 through 16. So we're going to talk about the second part of separation. And now we're going to talk about the separation from sin. You're saved. You trusted Christ as your Savior. Does that give you a liberty to live any which way that you want to? Does that mean that you can do whatever you want? No. Well, let's see what the Bible says. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14, as obedient children. Now, those that are parents, we had some dads that stood up earlier. I won't make you stand up again. But we also have some moms that are in here. What you did when you're raising your children, or as you're raising your children, you're teaching them to be obedient. You're teaching them with the desire, hopefully, to raise them for the Lord, that when they leave the house, that is hopefully your desire, amen, when they leave the house, ultimately, you want them to live their lives for Christ, amen. You're teaching them obedience. You're not teaching them just to do whatever they want, right? A lot of times, when I was a little kid, maybe hard to imagine, but one day I was a little kid. Some days I still feel like a little kid, and probably act like a little kid. My wife would probably tell you the same thing, amen. Some days maybe I do act that way. But I was a little kid, and it was up to me of what I had to eat. Yesterday we had a nice barbecue. We had some hamburgers and hot dogs, you know, the good stuff, amen. Hamburgers, hot dogs, and we had all the good stuff that you could put on, ketchup, mustard, hot sauce, really hot sauce. You know me, I love hot sauce, amen. Different hot sauce to put on it. But we also had chips and other stuff. And the truth of the matter is, if it was just me, and I was going back to when I was 6 years old, the chances are I would have went for something else other than the chips, something other than the hamburgers and hot dogs. I would have went for the cupcakes, amen. I mean, there were some wonderful cupcakes there. I would have probably ate, if I was allowed, I would have got my fill of them. Amen. And the truth of the matter is, I know Sarah was there, and I'm sure she probably allowed her kids to have a cupcake or two, but before they probably had that cupcake, they probably had to have a hamburger or a hot dog or some food. Amen. And the truth of the matter is, why? Because she cares for them. She wants them to grow up and eat well. Amen. But of being obedient. Amen. You know what the kids did? Is listen. Amen. When they weren't looking, amen, they snuck a couple into their... I'm just joking, amen. But they were being obedient, amen. See, you teach your children to be obedient, to listen, amen. They brought up their dog, amen. Their dog is very obedient. I think because their dog wants to live, amen. I think they're afraid he's not going to live, amen. But their dog's very obedient. The kids, when they were there, they opened up the door and they told the dog's name Belly, right? They said, Belly, let's go outside. But Sarah, I think Sarah told the dog ahead of time, don't go. And that dog, it didn't matter what the kid said, that dog went to that door, looked at the door, and if dogs could speak human language, they'd have said, are you crazy? She just said something. And that dog didn't move until ultimately later, they convinced the dog, right? They said, it's okay, Belly, go outside. But that's obedient, right? That dog was thinking, the consequences for me to go outside and play is not worth the joy I'm going to get. Amen. Obedience. And here it is, you should understand obedience by now, amen. It says that obedient children, that's what God's telling us, obedient children, you're saved. He wants you to be obedient. It says this, not fastening yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance. This is when you were lost, how you used to live, amen. The former ignorance, maybe you didn't know. Amen. Maybe you didn't know those things were wrong before. Amen. You just lived your life. You didn't care. Amen. It's in your former ignorance. It goes on and says, but he which hath called you is holy. So be holy in all matter of conversation. Every single thing. This is not just speaking of conversation of our words we say, but conversation as in our lifestyle. Everything. Because it goes on and says, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. God wants His children to be obedient. to live a holy life, amen? Not to live that life before I got saved, amen? The wicked things I was doing. God wants me to be obedient, amen? He wants me to ultimately live for Him. Now, that's not to earn my salvation. That's not to keep my salvation. But it should be out of a heart of gratitude and saying, Lord, I want to live for You, amen? I want to use my life for You. God wants us to be obedient. Amen. We can see that what he's telling us here. Look over here to chapter 4. Excuse me, in 1 Peter chapter 4. Look here at verse 1. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. Amen. You remember that. The truth of the matter is, He died on Calvary's cross for your sins, for my sins. Amen. There's nothing that you could do to earn salvation. It is a free gift that God has given to you. Amen. And when you receive that free gift, He saved you. Thank God for that. It goes on. It says, arm yourself likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sins. Now he's saying, it's not saying that Jesus Christ was a sinner. Amen. He's not. Amen. He was holy, just, the Lamb of God, the perfect Son of God. He never sinned. But it's referring to how he was obedient. Amen. There was no sin that was in his life. It goes on, it says, that he no longer should live the rest of his time, this is speaking of us as Christians, the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. So this scripture is telling us in verse 2 is this. Since I'm saved, I shouldn't use the rest of my life, whatever time God has given me. Amen. I'm blessed. I'm in my 40s now. Amen. Thank God I'm in my 40s. And God tarries, maybe I'll be in my 50s. And if God tarries, maybe hit 60s. And if God tarries, I'm going to try to live to 100. Amen. Or I'll die trying. Amen. The truth is, I like life. But whatever time God gives me left in my life, I am not going to use it, and I shouldn't use it, to ultimately just please me. This life that I have, He bought me with a precious price, His blood. And what we need to do is we need to live according to the will of God. Now, does that mean that you can never have entertainment or going out? Yesterday, we were outside, and we played some badminton. I told Steve, I would only share this about 5 times, and then, so here's number 1, amen. We went outside and had played some badminton. There's nothing wrong with playing badminton, amen. Now, it may have been something wrong with how they played, amen, but anyway, that's okay, amen. We crushed them, amen. It wasn't even a game, amen. I'm just joking with them. Not joking, we did crush them, amen. So that's 2. I still got 3 more times to pick on them, amen, but they're good people, amen. I should watch, because he's going to preach the afternoon service, amen. He could really get me, Jeremy. So anyway, what I'm saying, there's nothing wrong with playing badminton, amen. There's nothing wrong with that, amen. Now, if you're playing badminton and it's Sunday morning, there's something wrong with that, amen, because that would not be according to God's will, amen. But there's nothing wrong with entertainment to that nature. We played a little wiffle ball, and little Stephen, he's not up here, but I was throwing the wiffle balls, and he could hit. He's a whole... You are up here, amen? You were hiding, amen? Woke him up, amen? How old are you? 13 years old. He was hitting that wiffle ball like I've never seen. I mean, hitting it real far. It cuz me because I'm getting old and just don't see as well, amen? But he was really hitting it. There's nothing wrong with playing wiffle ball, amen? Entertainment, amen? To that nature. But you still do it for the glory of God, amen? You're not going to do something and ultimately play wiffle ball Sunday morning when church service is going on, amen? But it says here, talks about to the will of God, verse 3, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, railings, banquetings, and abominable adulteries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. So what's this scripture saying? This scripture is telling us this, that when you got saved, before you got saved, you may have been doing the wills of the Gentiles, living in your flesh. You didn't care about the things of God. You may have been very religious. That's what I was when I got saved. Very religious. Religion will not save you. Amen. Only Jesus Christ can. Amen. There's a lot of people that are very religious, and they're going to be going to hell because they're trusting in their religion or their works and not trusting in Christ to save them. And this is saying, maybe in the past you were doing these things, and now that you're saved, you're no longer doing them. And people may look at you and say, why not?
I remember right after I got saved, I had some friends. Maybe hard to imagine, but I did. Amen. I still have, I think, one friend. Amen. Maybe two. Amen. No, I have some your friends. Amen. I see you as friend, not as enemy, and I don't consider anyone as enemy. Some people may not like me, but I don't see you as an enemy. But the reality is, after I got saved, I went to some of my friends I used to hang out with, used to go out and party and do all kinds of things, and I went to their house, and there was a purpose I went to their house, is I wanted to tell them of the greatest thing that has ever happened in my life. I got saved. One of those times, one of if you remember back, Steve, I took Steve with me to go to visit a friend. And there was different things that was going on in his life. He was lost. And I brought Steve along because I knew some of the things he was doing wasn't good. Amen. And I figured I could run faster than Steve. So I figured it was okay if he did something that would trip him. And I'd run out of there meeting her and get real fast. You know, I'm just joking. But I went there for a purpose. And that purpose was to share with him how I got saved. And I wanted him to receive Christ as his Savior too. To try to talk to him. Amen. I went to other people that were my friends. And I went to share the gospel. And the reality is, when I read this scripture, they think it's strange that I don't want to go out and party with them anymore. They think it's strange that ultimately, when I went to one of their houses with their dad, I love their dad, still think about their dad once in a while, pray for their dad. My one friend, I went to his dad's house, and I went to his dad's house to try to show him how Jesus Christ saved me and how he could be saved. They thought it was strange, but ultimately, later on, there was some his son and others that came home, and they saw that I was talking to him about the Lord. They went to the refrigerator, start bringing out the booze. They thought it was strange when I left. See, the reality is, God wants us to be holy. Amen? That doesn't mean I look down at someone and say, I'm better than her. Amen? No, 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 don't do that. Amen? That's wrong. But the reality is, God wants us to live a holy life. Don't be surprised when you start standing up for the Lord, living for the Lord, that people look at you and say, wow, you look like a sore thumb. The truth of the matter is, we should stand out, amen? The people look at us and see us as holy people loving the Lord. Look at the Bible says over here, the book of Galatians, in Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. I'm sorry, Galatians chapter 5. Look here in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, look down here at verse 13. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, it says this. For brother, Galatians is a very good book. Every single book of the Bible is a very good book. Amen. Galatians deals with those that were talks about works, how you have to hold on to your salvation, work for your salvation. He deals with that. Amen. You go through and read that. It's a very good book, and it shows you that you're saved through Christ. But look here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, it says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. That's what you have in Christ. Liberty, freedom. Before I got saved, I was under the power of sin. The truth of the matter is, under the power and the dominion of sin. If I wanted to try to break some of the sins, the truth is, I was under that power. Christ has set me free. It doesn't mean I'm perfect. I don't live a perfect life. I try my best to live for God. Amen. But the reality is, I'm not perfect. But the reality is, he has set me free. What does that mean? I have freedom in Christ. Why? He paid my sin debt. That song that's out there, he paid the debt. He did not owe. I owe a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And it speaks of Christ. That's what he did. He's given me freedom in him. But now it says this. It goes on. It says, for ye, brethren, have been called unto freedom. Only use not liberty. Use not liberty for the occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. What the Bible is saying is this. Now that you're saved, you have that freedom or that liberty in Christ, where God has given you salvation, that gift. He says, now don't lose that liberty to go out and live any which way that you want to. Amen? Sometimes people talk about, say, those that believe you can't lose your salvation. You're giving people liberty to live it any which way that you want to. No, we're just preaching the Bible, and the Bible is what you should base it on, amen? And what the Bible is saying is this, that you're saved, you should go out and live a life that's pleasing to God. Live a holy life, amen? Use not your liberty. Because the truth of the matter is, when you get saved, you can't lose it. But the reality is, now you're going to have an impact on others. The truth is, you'll either draw people to Christ, or you'll draw people away from the Lord. And the reality is, if we live a life that's not pleasing to God or not trying to serve Him, we can put a stumbling block in front of others. The reality is, I can put a stumbling block in front of you. I could. And I don't want to do that in my life. Now again, I am not perfect. Amen. But the truth is, I try my best to live for the Lord. And those times I fail, what I do is ask the Lord to forgive me and help me to grow. But the reality is, God wants us to live a holy life. Look what the Bible says over here in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is the next book. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to give you a reference here that you can look at. Look here in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. It says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. What's he saying? That old nature, how we used to live. Put off, amen? I'm not going to allow it to rule in my life. I'm not going to allow that to be the influence of my life. Put off, amen? And ultimately allow Christ to live in me, to be able to ultimately live in His power for the glory of God. It says, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying. God doesn't want you to lie. You know, God wants you to tell the truth. And sometimes when we tell the truth, it may not be something someone wants to hear, but it's the truth. You need to tell people the truth. Now, there's sometimes as a parent, we'll talk parents here real fast, there's something, you don't have to tell your children everything. Amen? You could just say, Mom said no. Dad said no. You're a parent, amen? They're not the parent. You're the parent. Amen? You lead them. And boy, does that get under my skin when I see someone that's about 3-4 years old parenting the parent. Amen? Whew, that gets under my skin. Amen? Because the truth is, it's like you see someone walking down the aisle, and next thing you know, they're at Walmart or whatever it would be. They want some Cheetos or whatever. You know, all those good stuff. Cheetos or Doritos with... they have some... Doritos don't smell too good. Now, this is my personal opinion, amen? But they have some better Doritos that has the hot stuff in it, amen? And here's that little kid that's 5 years old, 3 years old, whatever, looking and saying, Mom, I want some Doritos that have the hot stuff in it. And Mom says, I can't afford it. You know, no, you can't have it. And then you ever see one of those kids just start acting up? Oh, Mom! And next thing you know, they fall down and it's like, they're running and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And then what does the parent do? The parent says, shh, let me get you the Cheetos and the Doritos and let me get you the barbecue chips and let me get you the ho-hos that are over here. And I'm thinking, what are you doing? Hey, man, one of these times I'm probably going to say something. They'll probably yell at me and who knows what happened, amen, and say, you are the parent. Amen? Raise your children. Amen? Raise them right. Don't do that. Amen? And the best thing to do is tell them that when they do that out of disobedience, you tell them, say, hey, when you go home, you're going to have a meeting. Amen? And you go home and you have a meeting with them. That meeting that you have, sometimes there's correction. That's what God talks about. Correction. It's not punishment. Amen? Don't ever beat your children. Amen? Correction. But there is a proper place. You do correction so they can learn that they don't do that anymore. So that way when they go back to the Walmart, they realize, kind of like that dog story, standing by the door saying, I ain't going out there because of the consequences that could happen. Amen. They go to there and they say, Mom, I want these Doritos. And Mom says no. They're going to remember the consequences of ultimately that meeting that could happen. They'll say, all right, Mom. I don't want it. You may say it won't work that way. I promise you it will. You know why? If you do it right. Because the Bible says it will. Amen. You raise them right, they'll turn out right. Amen. But anyway, how did I get on that? God wanted you to hear that. That's all free. Amen. But what we can see here, down here in verse 25, it says, wherefore, putting away all lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Tell the truth. Be honest. Amen. You go to a doctor, you want a doctor to be honest to you. I don't want a doctor to lie to me. Now, I want a doctor that maybe has a little tack, amen, that will say, hey, you have this, and here's what it is, and here's how we can treat it. Or they say, I'm, you know, There's nothing we can do. But I want to be honest with me. Amen. The truth is, as a Christian, what God's saying is put off these former things. Amen. And ultimately live for the Lord. Be honest. There should be one characteristic that people know you as a Christian. Well, two, right? There's actually more than that. But one is they know that you're a Christian. And the other thing is they know that you're honest. I know if I go to Steve, he's going to tell me the truth. Well, that's a good characteristic to have. Amen? Then what you shouldn't do is say, well, I ain't going to talk to Steve anymore. He's not going to tell me the truth, so I'm going to go to little Steve and his son. Amen? And I know he'll... No, I'm just joking. Amen? He'll be honest with you, too. Amen? You know how I know that? Because he likes the Orioles, and I like the Orioles. So anyone who likes the Orioles has to be a good guy. Amen? So, but anyway, pray for me, liking the Orioles up in New York. Amen? But what I'm saying is, we should live a holy life. Turn over here to chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5. It says this in verse 1, be therefore followers of God as dear children. He's telling us what? Follow Him. Look what it says here in verse 2. And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and given Himself for an offering and sweet and a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling Savior. But fornication, all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. See, God wants us to live a holy life. You go down here and look at verse 6. It says, let no man deceive you with vain words. Vain words. Some people will tell you some vain words and say, oh, that's okay. You can live any which way that you want to. Vain words. Don't let them deceive you. Find out what the Bible says. It says, for because of these things come the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not therefore partakers with them. Be holy. Amen. He wants us to be holy. It says, ye were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Amen. You can read through the rest of it in verse 11. It says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That's a conviction. Amen. The reality is, you should never hate an individual. But we should hate sin. You know, you think about John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It is possible. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2 or 3, where God was talking about the church, and when He said, these things do I hate. He's talking about the deeds. Amen? The deeds. Amen? There's other places in the book of Proverbs that says, these six things that the Lord hate, and 7 are abomination to Him. He hates them. Amen? What was it? He didn't hate the people. He hates sin. Amen? That's how we should be. Amen? Hate sin, love the sinner. Amen? And if you ever hear someone say, that's not possible, well, the truth is, God said it. Amen? If God said it, I believe it. Amen? And it is possible. When they tell you that, it's because they want you to compromise what the Bible teaches. That's what they want. A lot of times you'll hear that. A lot of liberals will say, freedom of speech! Until your speech offends them, amen? And then there's no freedom, amen? And then they can tell you whatever they want, amen? The truth of the matter is, I thank God for freedom of speech. There are consequences to your speech, amen? But the truth is, freedom of speech, I'm thankful that we live in a country that we have those freedoms that men and women have fought for over the years and still fighting for over the years, that we have a freedom of speech. I may not agree with some of the things that people say, but that doesn't mean that you're going to go out and attack them. Amen. Freedom of speech. There should be dialogue that's there. Amen. But the reality is, let me get back here to the scripture. We can see here it says reprove them. Amen. Show them. They have an open heart. Show them. Well, we can see here the Bible says over and over again. We won't go to every reference. Turn back here to the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12. See, God wants us to live a separate life, a holy life. Amen. Thank God we have freedom in Christ. Thank God I'm saved. Amen. Thank God that ultimately He's keeping me. That doesn't mean I can just go out here and live any which way I want to. Amen. No, no, no. Be holy. Amen. He wants you to live a holy life. Look at what the Bible says here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, look here, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. God wants us to live a holy life. He says that's acceptable. That's pleasing to God. It's your reasonable service. Think about it. There's nothing I can do to earn salvation. Nothing I can do to keep salvation. But it's my reasonable service to say, whatever life I have left, Lord, I want to live for you.
It goes on and tells you how to do it. In verse 2 it says, and be not conformed to this world. Don't allow the thinkings that you have to come from the world. It says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are you going to do that? Well, it says that renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God from the Scripture. See, before I got saved, I had all kinds of crazy things that I did. And the Bible says, I'm not going to allow the world to ultimately to lead me in my decision in life. At least I shouldn't. Amen? I shouldn't follow that. Amen? The truth of the matter is, you think about all kinds of, there's all kinds of stuff out there. Amen? How the world changes. How the world constantly changes. This book never changes. It's forever settled in heaven. You base what you believe on this book, you'll never have a problem. Amen? This world changes. You just take the egg. Amen? I like eggs. The world at one time told you, I'm just giving you an example, right? Amen? I'm not saying it's sin to eat egg or not to eat egg. You'll understand. The world will tell you not to eat egg because it's bad for you. 5 years later, eat the eggs because it's good for you. Then it turns and says it's bad for you. They don't know. Amen? Now, please don't misunderstand. We have some good doctors, nurses out there. Amen? But what I'm saying is, they're going through trying to do the best that they can. This scripture is forever settled. Don't base what you believe, how you act, based on what the world says. Based on this book, the Bible. Follow the Bible. Amen? And I guarantee you, yes, you will stand out. People will look at you and think you're crazy. But ultimately, it's a reasonable service. He said, be transformed. Amen? My way of thinking before, I was thinking, well, this is, no. What does the Bible say? Amen? See, that's what He wants in my life. He wants me to live a holy life. Holy life. Here, I'll give you five quick points. Amen. 5 quick points under that here to help you. Look over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 5 quick points. Amen. I'll make them quick. This will help you. Look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Here it is. Different thoughts to apply this to our lives. Promise to be quick. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 and 32. So ask yourself this, right? In verse 31 it says, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Here's the first point. You ask yourself, does it bring glory to God? That'll help you. I'll make you think before there's some things that you're going to do. It'll make you think before you go to the shopping place or nice and easy, whatever. You go to the cooler that are there. You open that cooler up. They have that Bud Light, Devil Light, amen. They have that Bud Light or Devil Coors Light or whatever it would be. That wicked stuff, devil's poison there. It'll make you think, well, if I take that, that's not going to bring glory to God, amen. So it's biblical, you can see it, practical, amen. So ask yourself, will it bring glory to God? That'll make you think before to some of the things that you do, amen. Second point is this, go back here to 1 John. In 1 John chapter 2, here's the second one. Second question you can ask yourself. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 and 16, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And all that is of the world, he tells you, he defines it. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So ask yourself, here's the second question, is it of the world? He gave you the things that are here, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Ask yourself, second question, is it of the world? Can I tell you that will prevent people when they go to their internet and they're thinking no one's looking, they go onto that website. One thing is internet is good. Amen. There's a lot of good things that's there, but there's a lot of wicked things. They bring up that internet and they bring it up and they go to Google. Everyone knows what Google is. Google, you can type anything in and anything comes up as well. It will prevent you from going in and people putting in stuff about pornography. See, that's the lust of the flesh, amen? The reality is, they'll say, whoa, that's not going to bring glory to God.
Amen. The lust of the eyes. Amen. Here's the third thing that you can ask yourself. Turn over here to the book of Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. In Romans chapter 14. Here's the third question that you can ask yourself. So you're asking, does it bring glory to God? Is it of the world? Here's the third one. Look here in Romans chapter 14, verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or occasion to fall in his brother's way. You can write down a reference. You can go and check it out later. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 8 through 13. The Bible says if you put a stumbling block in front of your brothers or sisters, that you are sinning. So don't put a stumbling block. The third question is say this. Will it cause someone to stumble? Amen? Now again, I can't lose my salvation, but ultimately I can be a stumbling block to my brothers and sisters in Christ from my actions. I don't want to do that. Amen? The truth of the matter, I want you to think about this. The truth of the matter is, I could just say, today, I'm quitting. This will be my last sermon that you'll ever hear. I quit. You know what that'll do? It'll cause a stumbling block to you. They'll say, whoa, there's a preacher who said he loves the Lord, saying by the Bible, doing what's right. Why is he quitting? The reality is, we can be a stumbling block to our brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't want to be a stumbling block. Does that mean I'm perfect? No, I'm not perfect. Amen. I am saved by grace. But the truth of the matter is, we have to look at our actions, the things that we say, things that we do, because I don't want to be a stumbling block. I don't want to call someone to ultimately turn away from God because of my life. Here's the fourth thing. Look down here at verse 23. It'll all be summed up in the fifth point. Amen. I told you to go fast. I'm only on fourth point. Here's look down here at verse 23. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. So in contents of going through, talking about different things of eating, look here at the end. It says, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So I asked your question. Here's the other question. Can you do this activity by faith without doubting? If you're doubting, don't. Amen. It's an easy thing to live by, but by faith, amen? If I, you know, going back to the example, there's something maybe on the internet, and I'm thinking, is this right or wrong? The truth of the matter is, if I'm doubting, what I need to do is find out what the Bible says, amen? Don't! Best thing to do is don't do it, amen? Live a holy life. Here's the fifth thing, and it really sums up, all these things are all summed up into this. Look over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look down here at verse 5. It says separation from sin. Here's the fifth point. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Here's the last one. It's really summed up in this one. You could just use this question, and it would actually help you on all of them. Is it against Scripture? Here's the answer. All the other ones were giving you the Scripture and the example, amen. Is it against Scripture? What does the Bible say on the matter? And can I tell you, when you look and see what the Bible says, it will help you, amen? Why? Be holy, for I'm holy, amen? God wants us to live a holy life. And when you look at that, it will help you. The truth of the matter is, a lot of times we don't want to know what does the Bible say. I remember talking to someone up here. I told you the points would be long, amen? But I can close up. I'll be, as Paul said, here's a summary of the short, and he went on, amen? But let me summarize it this way. There was an individual that I know that's up here, won't mention the name, and I will never do that. But ultimately, I was talking to that individual, and this individual knows where I stand, knows what I believe on the Bible, and they ultimately asked me this question. They said, is it wrong to drink? I said, the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter my opinion, it doesn't matter your opinion. What matters is what the Bible says.
And I said, I'll give you, start giving you scripture. And I started to quote some scripture to him. You know, wine is a marker, strong drink is raging. Whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And one, two other verses that are there. So he knew. The next time I talked to him, or a couple months down the road, he asked the question again. He said, is it wrong to drink? I said, again, it doesn't matter my opinion, it doesn't matter your opinion. I said, what matters is the Bible. I said, you want me? He said, no. That's okay. I don't need to know what the Bible says. Well, the truth of the matter is, that's what matters. The Bible. Amen? What does the Bible say? See, the Bible says, be holy, for I am holy. You know, the truth of the matter is, you that are here today, you have an opportunity, a wonderful privilege, to live for God. Well, the Bible talks about it in the last days. We read about Daniel. We think how exciting that was for Daniel. Be going to that lion's den. But he had to make a stand. When everyone else would compromise, Daniel said, I'm going to stand. We think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We read those stories and say, whoa, what must have been? Be thrown into the fiery furnace to be standing there and have a son of God that's there. And you want to talk about a wonderful thing. We're thinking how great that was. But they were willing to stand. And what I'm saying is, you can go through other examples. What I'm saying is this. God wants you to be holy. Live a holy life. And it's not to bring glory to you. It's not to bring glory to me. It's to bring glory to Him. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which art in heaven. See, God wants us to live a holy life where people look at your life and say, I want what you have. And what we do is we point them to Jesus Christ. He's not hanging on that cross. He died for us, was buried, and rose again. We point them to the cross and say, your sin debt can be paid for. You can have that free gift of salvation. See, God wants to use your life. He's not using the angels to tell people about Christ. He's using us as Christians. Now, God can use lost people to influence people to Christ. Maybe people that don't know Christ, and they're given the Scripture because it's the power of God's Word. But He wants to use your life. You know how you can help and influence your family and your friends and your neighbors? You live for God. They may not agree with everything that you do, but they'll say, I know that they love Jesus. See, God wants us to live a holy life. See, that's that separation. Ask yourself today, am I trying to live a separated life? I'm not saying I'm better. I'm not saying that you're better. A separated life to please the One who saved me. Let's close in a word of prayer with eyes closed and no one looking. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this opportunity to preach, and thank You for the patience of these people. And I thank You for all that You have done. Lord, I pray that You'd use this message today for Your honor and Your glory. Lord, I thank You for these people that came and hearing the truth, to hear the truth being preached. And I pray, Lord, that I was able to help them, to show them from Your Word. And Lord, also, they would be able to apply it to their lives. That would use a life for Your glory and honor. Lord, help us in those times we fail, because we all fail. And Lord, help us to continue on living for You. Lord, I give these this time of invitation that Thy will be done. We ask it in Jesus' name, with eyes closed and no one looking at You.